Good morning. Rest, because it is without hands. I confess I never presented this message before in my life, but I have a burden to present this message because I know it is important for God's people, especially the ones that are living in these last days. But at the same time, I am kind of nervous to present this message, because I understand that in the sound of my voice, there are people in different stages in their Christian walk. And some, maybe, I'm not sure, but some of you may get offended with the message. But if I don't present the message, I'm not a faithful watchman in the wall of Zion, if you know what I mean. So I must present this message, but because this message is kind of delicate, I need to prepare you in order to present the message, okay? So what I'm going to do is to prepare you, and you may be thinking, where is he going with this? But I promise you, I have a point to make, and I will make this point by God's grace. So you will feel tempted to kind of wonder as I'm preparing you, but it's for your sake. Endure with me the first part, and then you will see the big picture, amen? So let us pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we just ask you to bless and give us understanding and prepare the heart of everyone for this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 11. In order for you to understand this title, Rest Because It Is Without Hands, I'm going to divide this title in two parts, in two concepts. Concept number one, rest. Concept number two, without hands. Let's talk about rest first. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Very familiar passage. It says there, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give," what is the next word, everybody? Rest. So Jesus Christ is inviting all men. What kind of men? The ones that are laboring and are heavy laden, and he will give them rest. They are working, and Jesus Christ is inviting them to stop working and to receive rest. So put this concept of rest in the shelf right now. We are going to come back there, and let's take the concept of without hands. I want to show you from the Bible how the Bible used this terminology, without hands. Come with me to the book of Job, which is before Psalms. If you go in the middle of your Bible, you have Psalms, and the book before Psalms is Job and chapter 34. Job chapter 34. And we will read verse 20. And we want to see from this verse what it means, this terminology, without hands. I have a question for you, and the answer is in this verse. Job 34, verse 20, the Bible says there, "In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hands." What does it mean that the mighty, the people, will pass away without hands? What does it mean? Any idea? Divine intervention. Not with the help of human hands. When God says, "I will bring down your enemies without hands," it means that it's not going to be accomplished by human intervention, but it will be accomplished by God. And then you have Daniel chapter 2. Do you remember Daniel chapter 2, that image? And then, in the end of the vision, Daniel saw a rock, a stone cut out without hands. Meaning, divine intervention. Not human hands. It's not going to be accomplished by human hands, but through divine power. I want to take you to the New Testament now. The book of Mark, chapter 14. Let's turn there really quick. Matthew chapter 14. Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 14, and verse 58. You will see Jesus using this expression, without hands. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 58, the Bible says there, "We heard him," Jesus say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. The people were accusing Jesus over here. They said, we heard him saying that he will destroy this temple, the temple in Jerusalem that was made with hands, and he will rebuild in 3 days without hands. But Jesus Christ was not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about his own body. His body was made with human help. Mary, is she human? Yes, she is. And with the Holy Spirit. So the conception of Jesus, the body that Jesus had human hands. But he said, I will destroy this body, referring to his death. And in 3 days, his resurrection, he resurrected after 3 days, I will make this temple, my body, without hands. Meaning that the resurrection of Jesus had no human intervention, was divinely accomplished. That's what it means, this term. So when we put both together, we have rest because it is without hands. It simply means rest because it must be divinely accomplished. Are you following? Now let's take this concept in the realm of salvation. Let's see how it applies for our salvation. I want to take you, in fact, I have here in the PowerPoint, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved. So we are saved by grace, right? Through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is the gift of who? God. Therefore, your salvation is divinely accomplished. Your salvation is by grace. And this is a gift of God. Your salvation must be without hands. And notice the rest of the verse, the next verse, actually, verse 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, if you are not working, what are you doing? By implication, you are doing what? If you are not working, you are resting, right? So the Bible says that your salvation, in order for you to be saved, you must rest because it is without hands. Amen? I want you to see an illustration that the Bible gives in the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64. Beautiful illustration dealing with salvation. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. And we will read verse 8. It says there, Isaiah 64 verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art a potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So the Bible said that we are what? The clay, right? And who is the potter? Jesus, God, right? He's the potter, right? And if we are the clay, listen carefully, if we are the clay, he is the potter, who is doing the work? Come on. The potter, right? He is the potter. We are the clay. He is doing the work. It is like this. Here comes the potter, God, and said, you know what? You are the clay. I am the potter. I want to make you in a such a way that thou shalt not bear false witness. What does the clay say? Nothing. The clay said, okay, you want to do me this way? Go ahead. Make me in a such a way that I will not bear false witness. I'm resting. The potter comes to you and said, you know what? I want to mold your life in a such a way that thou shalt not kill. What does the clay do? Nothing. Go ahead. You want to make me this way? Do it. I am the clay. You are the potter. I am the works of thy hands. And then the potter said, I want to be in every aspect of your life. I promise you that I will make something beautiful out of your life, something useful, something good. And then he said, you know, I want to be in your relationship too. I want to make you in such a way that thou shalt not commit adultery. What does the clay do? Nothing. Go ahead, make me in such a way that I will not commit adultery. Amen? But now you tell me, hey, come on, we are not clay. This is just an illustration. We have free will. That is true, but you didn't understand the illustration. The illustration, we are the clay, you are the potter, is referring a group of people that made their mind, that they made their decision to be the potter's clay. That's your decision. You have to make a decision who is going to mold your life. You can mold your own life. It's okay. I'm not condemning you. You can do that if you want. I have done that. I have tried to mold my own life. It didn't work, but I'm not condemning anyone here. You can mold your own life, or you can make a decision to let the potter mold your own life. The illustration here is addressing a group of people that they are tired of working and laboring, and now they come to Jesus to rest, to cease from their works, and put their lives in the hand of the potter, and let him mold their lives. Does this make sense to you? But sometimes, and I want to tell you this, this contract, we being the clay and he being the potter, you can break this contract anytime you want. And people usually break this contract for two reasons. Reason number one, they are afraid of the powerful hand of the potter. You know, the potter comes with his powerful hands, and we say, hey, wait a minute. What are you trying to do with my life? I mean, you have molded my life so far, and I like it, and thank you very much, but let's stop right here. You know, take these hands out of my life. You can do that. Some people, they choose to break this contract because they are afraid of what God is going to do in their lives. A second group, they break this contract because of temptation. Let me give you an illustration. You see yourself in a situation that if you tell the truth, you're going to get in trouble. You know what I'm talking about? And if you tell just a little lie, very little lie, it seems the best way. It seems that everything will be fine. And we know that the will of the potter is that you shall not bear false witness, right? And now you feel tempted to tell a lie. You know how we call that temptation to tell a lie? You trying to mold your own life. You trying to put your hands in your life and do your own way. So what you have to do right there when you feel tempted to mold your life your own way, you have to say, God, help me to put my hands down and rest, and you mold my life. Are you following? So it's not you working, but Christ's work in you. And what you have to do is surrender. Every time you feel tempted, you know, people is tempting you to be angry, to be irritated, you said, God, I feel like putting my hands now and just doing something that is not pleasing to you. Right there you have to say, Lord, let me be the works of thy hands. And then you surrender your life. But some people, they choose to mold their own lives, and that's why they come out of the hand of the potter. But let's go to the next point over here. I want you to hear this. Every artist, when they are doing something, they put their name, their sign, to let everybody know that this is the works of my hands. Isn't that true? So it is with God. He is the potter. You are the clay. And if you are the potter's clay, he will put his sign in you. Does it make sense? To let everybody know that you are the works of his hands. Yes? Okay, and what is the sign of the potter that he wants to put in your life? Go with me, very good. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, a very familiar passage, Ezekiel chapter 20, and I want you to see maybe in a different way this verse. Ezekiel chapter 20. It will tell us about the sign the potter wants to put in us. If we want to be the potter's clay. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my, what is the next word? Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them that they might know that I am the Lord there. What is the next word? Sanctify them. Hey, wait a minute. Here comes a theological word. I will put the Sabbath in them to be a sign that I am the Lord that sanctified them. What word is this, sanctify? It only means that they might know that I am the Lord that mold their lives. That's all he's saying. Sanctification is God molding your life. So the Sabbath now becomes a sign that you are the potter's clay. And I just wish you completely understood that. I don't feel you understood that. You know when people accuse Seventh-day Adventists to be legalists because we are keeping the Sabbath? You know, they are trying to work their salvation. You know what I'm talking about? Because they are keeping the Sabbath. They don't understand. I keep the Sabbath not to earn my salvation. I keep the Sabbath because God made me this way. I'm not working. I am the works of His hand. I'm resting. I don't lie because He made me this way. I don't commit adultery and crimes because He made me this way. I made my mind to be the potter's clay. And to let everybody know that I'm not working, I'm resting, He put His sign in my life, the Sabbath. And by the way, what does Sabbath mean? Rest. That's what the word Sabbath means. Now the Sabbath become like an analogy of salvation. The Sabbath become a sign that you are not working your salvation, but you are resting in the will of God. And He is the one working your life. Don't let anybody accuse you to be a legalist just because you obey God. Amen? If you really understand that, please raise your hands. Amen. Okay, so I want to assume that you want to be the potter's clay this morning. Can you say amen for that?
Amen.
And I want to assume that you want the potter to put His sign in your life, to let everybody know that you are not working your salvation, but you are resting in the will of God. And He, you are the work of His hand. I want to assume that that's what you want. And believe it or not, I found out that most Seventh-day Adventists, they do not keep the Sabbath holy. Therefore, they do not possess the sign that they are the potter's clay. And we know that in the last days, what will distinguish God's people from the world is the keeping of the Sabbath. All Christians will agree with you that they should not commit adultery, that they should not steal and kill and all of that, and perhaps even not bow before image. But when it comes to the Sabbath, it's only those that have made their decision, I am the potter's clay, and I will let Him to put His sign in my life. So having that in mind, that we want to receive the sign of God, let's see a few quotations from the Spirit prophet that will help us to keep the Sabbath holy. And it is impossible. It is impossible to keep the Sabbath holy without preparation. Let me share some quotations with you. He who from the heart obeys the fourth commandment will obey the whole law. You cannot prepare for the Sabbath while you are in transgression of the law. While you are stealing people and lying to people, you cannot be preparing to keep the Sabbath holy. So if you want to keep the Sabbath holy, you will end up keeping the whole law. Does it make sense to you? All through the week, we are to have the Sabbath in mind and be making preparation to keep it according to the commandments. When does the week begin, according to the Bible? Saturday night, right? After sundown. So all through the week, you have to have the Sabbath in mind to make preparation. And it goes on to say, we are not merely to observe the Sabbath as a legal matter. We are to understand it is spiritual bearing upon all transactions of life. So the Sabbath actually will affect your whole life. If you are a business person, if you are really preparing to keep the Sabbath holy, you are not going to get advantage of people during the week. You can't just change your colors because the sun went down and became Sabbath. So in order for you to prepare the Sabbath, it will affect your workstation, your school, your home, everything will be affected. Amen? Continuing, daily it will be their prayer that the sanctification of the Sabbath may rest upon them. I pray every morning that the Lord may help me to keep the Sabbath holy. Prepare me spiritually, and if there is anything that I should do before the Sabbath, I ask Him to remind me. I don't allow everything to be done on Friday. Friday is the final preparation day. But through the week, we can prepare for the Sabbath. Many need instruction, listen carefully, as to how they should appear in the assembly for worship on the Sabbath. They are not to enter the presence of God in the common clothing worn during the week. And let me make a parenthesis over here. It's talking about how you present yourself in the house of God. We are not dealing with forgiveness of sin here. We are not dealing with the way you should come to Jesus. You come to Jesus the way you are. Do you understand that? Yes? Can you say amen? Amen. You come to Jesus the way you are. We are talking about people that have made their decision to be the potter's clay, that has Christ abiding in their hearts. We are not dealing with forgiveness of sin. So we must have appropriate clothing to come to the house of God. Continuing, the same passage. All should have a special Sabbath suit to be worn when attending service in God's house. I want to make another parenthesis over here. That word suit does not necessarily mean this. Does not necessarily mean this. It means something appropriate. You have like swimming suit, which is appropriate for you to swim, right? You have appropriate suit, you know, to work in construction. So it simply means that you must have a special clothing for the Sabbath. Amen? Continuing. While we should not conform to worldly fashions, we are not to be indifferent in regard to our outward appearance. We are to be neat and trim, though without adornment. And some people may make a big deal on this, but listen, you know, if you work for somebody, your boss wants you to dress appropriate. Isn't that true? If you go to school, people want you to dress appropriately. So it is in the church. God is asking us, you know, I'd like you to dress appropriate. What does the clay say? No, I'm not going to do this. Does the clay, you know, will fight? What does the clay do? The clay rest. Do it. I am the works of thy hand. On Friday, let the preparation for the Sabbath be completed, not started. See that all the clothing is in readiness and that all the cooking is done. Let the boots be blacked. How do we say this today? The boots be blacked. Polished, right? And the bath be taken. It is possible to do this. And this one over here, it really caused a controversy so far because somehow the devil make it appear so impossible. And yet, the people that make it appear so impossible, they do this all throughout the week. Have you ever met people that, you know, take shower on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Have you ever met somebody like this? Take a shower every day of the week. Yes or no? Yes, right? You can keep the Sabbath holy and do the same. You can take your shower on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before sundown, 5:30, I don't know, you know, sundown is 6 o'clock, some places 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You can take your shower before sundown, and then on Saturday you take your shower again after sunset. That's what you're doing. You're taking a shower each day of the week. And, you know, and some people say, but it is impossible, you know. If you really want to keep the Sabbath holy, to have the sign of God, and you are keeping the Sabbath holy on Friday, you're not going to work to make money. Therefore, you're not doing something that will cause you, you know, to take shower. You're not going to be engaging in sports on Friday evening. It is the Sabbath hours. You probably go study your Bible, spend time with your family, or practice a song in the church, and then you go to your bed, and I hope and pray that your bed is clean, that will not necessarily, you go to your bed and say, I have to take a shower because I slept in my bed today. I hope it's not like that. And you wake up in the morning, and the next day, you come to church, and you are sitting down. And then you go for maybe a nature walk. You're not doing anything. And then you take your shower when, you know, the sun comes down. The Sabbath is not to be given to the repairing of garments. to the cooking of food, to pleasure seeking, or to any other worldly employment. Before the setting of the sun, let all secular work be laid aside and all secular paper be put out of sight. Why does it say about, you know, those papers to be put out of sight? You don't want anything to be reminding you of your bills, your debts, and all those things that remind you of work. You want to be focused in worshiping God and your spiritual life. You want to put it aside, all things that will remember you of the week unnecessarily. Are you following? And then it says cooking over here. No, I mean, I'm a single person, and I can sympathize with the woman. I hear a woman saying, you know, I'm tired of cooking. So if you're tired of cooking, why are you cooking on the Sabbath? When God is telling you not to do it, can't you see that He's in your side? The violation of the fourth commandment is not confined to preparation of food. Many carelessly put off blacking their boots and shaving until after the beginning of the Sabbath. Continuing. This should not be. If any neglect to do such a work on a working day, they should have respect enough for God's holy time to let their beards remain unshaved, their boots rough and brown until the Sabbath is passed. So if you didn't make it, just let it. Let it be the way it is. You know, and I'll tell you, when it's your lifestyle, you don't even notice you are doing this. That becomes your life. You know, remember the first time you hear about the Sabbath truth. It was a transformation in your life. But after some time, it became normal. Isn't that true? It became normal. So when you start learning from God how to really keep the Sabbath holy, that you have to really be a part of the world and prepare your mind to commune with God and with your family, that becomes your lifestyle. You do it without even thinking about it. Next one. We should jealously guard the edges of the Sabbath. Before the Sabbath begins, the mind as well as the body should be withdrawn from worldly business. What does it mean we should jealously guard the edges of the Sabbath? You know, you don't want that type of thing like, come out of the shower, it's 5 minutes to the sun to set. Come on, hurry up. You know, finish to clean the house. And then when the sun is going down, 1 minute, you drop the broom. That's not the type of thing you want to do it. You want to gradually enter in the Sabbath hours. Prepare it. Does it make sense to you? Okay. By the way, I didn't know that this topic is so funny to present. You're laughing a lot. There is another work that should receive attention to the preparation day. On this day, talking about Friday, the preparation day, all differences between brethren, whether in the family or in the church, should be put away. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice be expelled from the soul, in a humble spirit, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So you have to do as much as possible to reconcile with people before the Sabbath hours. Amen? Let not the precious hour of the Sabbath be wasted in bed. And we'll tell you why. On Sabbath morning, the family should be astir early. If they rise late, there is confusion and bustle in preparing for breakfast and Sabbath cool. There is hurrying, how do you say that word? Jostling and impatience. Does unholy feeling come into the home? You know what I'm talking about? Come on, hurry up. Look what you did. You woke up late. I want to eat. No, we don't have time to eat. And then it seems that you're going to church is the worst time of the week. All because you woke up just in the time to leave to the church. I fear that we often travel on this day when it might be avoided. It doesn't say that you cannot travel. It said that it might be avoided. In order to reach the what? Churches that need our help. That is the condition. and to give them the message that God desires them to hear, it may be necessary for us to travel on the Sabbath. But so far as possible, we should secure our tickets and make all necessary arrangements on some other day. So you can actually travel in the Sabbath if it is necessary for you to bless other people. And I'll tell you, one time I received an invitation, and that invitation was really tempting to me because it was overseas. You know what I'm talking about? People will pay everything for you to go overseas. But I had to travel on the Sabbath. And according to this, I could travel on the Sabbath by plane because I was going there to bless them. But I wanted to know from them why they had to buy my ticket on the Sabbath. If there is 6 other days of the week. They didn't buy yet, you know, but I asked them, is there any other day that I could travel? You know, if you really tell them that there is no other day, I'll travel on the Sabbath to bless, you know, to the work of God there. I wanted them to know, you know. And I'll tell you, I'm still waiting the answer. If they don't have an answer, it's fine. You know, if they don't want to tell me, like, yeah, we have other days, but we want to buy just on the Sabbath, I said, I'm not going. I want to know the reasons why you are buying the Sabbath. When starting on a journey, we should make every possible effort to plan so as to avoid reaching our destination on the Sabbath. When compelled to travel on the Sabbath, we should try to avoid the company of those who would draw our attention to worldly things. People that are constantly trying to speak about business and things of the world, or whatever it is, unholy conversation. If they are not willing to talk about decent conversation, you should withdraw yourself. In pleasant weather, I know Puna Church like this one. In pleasant weather, let parents walk with their children in the fields and groves amid the beautiful things of nature. Tell them the reason for the institution of the Sabbath. So a nature walk. So in Hawaii, you have plenty of beautiful places to go to a nature walk. As the sun goes down, let the voice of prayer and the hymn of praise mark the close of the sacred hours and invite God's presence through the cares of the week of labor. What is he talking about? Sundown worship, right? So you should, and there is another quotation that talks about receiving the Sabbath with worship, and now you close the Sabbath with worship and asking the blessing of the Lord. And if you're by yourself, you can do by yourself, you know, or you can do with your family. You know, just close the Sabbath and ask the Lord's blessing for the week. The Sabbath question is to be the issue in the great final conflict in which all the world will act a part. You may think that you have nothing to do with the Sabbath, but in these last days, you will see that you have to make a decision to be the potter's clay or to mold your own life according to the world. We are told in Scripture that the whole world will be Christian, but just a remnant will be the potter's clay. The whole world will be Christian according to their own will. I'm a Christian, but potter, stay over there. I'll mold my life, my Christian experience according to my will. But just a remnant will allow God not only to begin, but to finish his work. I want to take you to the book of Hebrews. Take you to the book of Hebrews. In chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author, do you see that word author over there? And finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. So looking unto Jesus and allow him to finish his work in your life. And I want to make an appeal over here. You don't need to come to the front. But some of you have been in the church for years and you just found out today that you never kept the Sabbath holy. I have an appeal to you. I'd like you to put your hands down and says, God, I am the work of your hands. If that is your desire, I want you to tell God right now. You don't need to raise your hands. Just tell him he's hearing you. And I want to make an appeal for another group of people. Perhaps you never kept the Sabbath in your life. And my appeal to you is this. You have to get to know what is the Sabbath all about. There is much more that I didn't share with you. You have at least to give a chance to God to show what is the Sabbath all about. If you never heard about the Sabbath, if you never kept the Sabbath, I make an appeal to you to come to any church member in this church and they will explain to you. They will give a Bible study on the Sabbath. By God's grace, they will do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer.